Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast with your co-hosts, Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and their team of experts. Since 1998, this program has been helping people like you with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources and programs, and promoting tech businesses in our area. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program heard weekly on WJR 760 AM in Detroit and across the state on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
I hope you have room for lots of virtual cake. Hi, this is Foster Brown. Welcome to the Internet Advisor 16th Anniversary Program. We've got a number of anniversaries going on here. Macintosh has a 30th anniversary. We have a 16th anniversary. And Ed Rudell has a 50th anniversary. Lots of cake, virtual and otherwise. And a great program lined up for you today here on the Internet Advisor. Well, welcome aboard, as I said, to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, your co-host here. Have been here for the last 16 years doing it, along with my good buddy and the man who is the other voice of the Internet Advisor, has been for the last 16 years, and that's Mr. Gary Baker. Gary, good to have you in studio, as always.
And 16 years, it is 16 years. It's our anniversary show today.
That's right. We've got a little bit of cake in here, some real cake, not just virtual cake, although I will post that so people can get a little bit of
bite. Yeah, we need to serve some virtual cake to our audience. anybody out there listening, you can join us.
It's calorie-free, which is really, really nice.
There you go.
The other thing that's being celebrated, Cal, I thought I'd bring you in on this because it is a big birthday for Apple. Microsoft celebrates the Macintosh came out 30 years ago today.
This is true.
And I think, wasn't it? It was on the, if I remember correctly, it was previewed on a Super Bowl ad. That was where it was launched. Am I right?
Oh, that's when they launched the first advertising for it. I mean, Steve and Woz had,
they
went to New York and, you know, they pitched it and got it all going and stuff like that. But the actual announcement to the general public and the advertisement was bought on Super Bowl time. And then later on,
and it was an ad. It was a really remarkable ad too. It was that young woman who was in, you know, the.
Well, it was a twist on 1984.
That's right.
It was, you know, Big Brother, which was IBM Big Blue.
Yeah, that's
everyone
right.
Was just following.
And it was a Mark Ridley, right?
Yes, yes, I think he was he was the one who
produced
that is
it. Correct.
Right. And there was a young woman who runs up. She has a hat. She has a big sledgehammer, and she's running up and tosses it.
She throws it at the big screen that's telling everybody that they should be marching to the IBM beat. And it breaks it up.
Think about Scroogled. That was Scroogled. Nothing on Scroogled.
It
went
was
straight
very,
at it.
Very expensive commercial, and I think it started to set the trend for the higher budget, longer commercials that they had on Super Bowl and stuff
that. What was the original price that time? Anybody remember? I'm trying to look for it.
75 cents, something like that.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, pricey even then.
But it was, I think the big thing about the Macintosh at that point was it was like a personal computer finally came to the reach of more than just the tech publishers.
Well, it's the
audience.
It's the old computer for the people, the
masses,
that type of thing. You know,
that was always billed.
You didn't have to be part of corporate America in order to have a computer now and such and such. But even then, there were other computers that were out there. You had your Commodores, you had your VICs. But this was we're going to give you something entirely different that's not necessarily text-based and yada, yada, yada. It had the graphical user interface.
Right. Well, and there were, you know, the IBM had its own PCs out by that time, and, you know, this was, so anyway, that's a really important anniversary, but there is an important birthday for Ed Riddell. Ed, you turned 50 this week.
You know what? And if it wasn't for that damn Facebook, no one would know.
You know, that was a torch. I can't believe Tina actually put 50 candles. How did she get them all on the cake?
She's very good at embarrassing me. Oh, my gosh. I had to go downstairs and get a propane, to light that thing.
Did she let the fire department know, have them on standby or something?
Oh, dear.
That was bright.
It was. Yeah, it was fun.
Well, it was great for cold weather. It worked very nicely.
It turns off quite a bit of heat, and we had a good time.
And a good time was had by all. We have Steve Heyer with us. Steve Heyer is a gentleman who works with, he is the CEO of IGD Solutions, a company that is our host for the Internet Advisor. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
I thought it was kind of interesting to have you on. We're hoping to get in touch with the cold weather, maybe too much, for Charlie Hopper, who is our regular on these anniversary programs. Charlie is he runs an ISP in the Upper Peninsula, and he literally there's a physical challenge, and I hope we get him on to tell the story of driving a snowmobile in hurricane force winds
on Mountain.
Yeah, a minus 40 degree wind chill. Yep. And he had to drive it up at the top of the highest point in order to get their array working it properly, because they do a lot of WiMAX.
Yep.
And that is the technology that, and they've really been kind of on the kind of cutting edge of that. Tell a little bit about IGD Solutions and what you folks serve, or who you folks serve.
Sure. Our customers are mainly businesses, and we're in the business of helping folks figure out how to deal with the internet for their business. And usually that's a credibility issue. Sometimes it's an e-commerce thing that they're looking to sell things online, promote themselves more. Mm-hmm. A lot of people skip the strategy part of that discussion. They go right into building something or launching something. And it's so key to understand why you're doing it, or what you expect to get out of it. That's what we really help customers, because nobody does it because it's cool. They do it because they want more business and more money in their pocket.
Yeah, so it's not it isn't that old thing about if you build it, they will come.
Right. Yeah, that's not true
necessarily
today.
So.
Well, and there is a reason that that we are hosted there too. It's because of your partnership with Online Technologies, Online Tech, and they found that as a very very good ISP and doing a lot of other things, that they really couldn't concentrate on the hosting like you could. They found you guys, you had a meeting of the minds, and you're now taking over all that business. And that, I say now, that was quite a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, a few years ago now. Certainly their focus is data center operations. They want people with racks and servers, and hosting companies have racks and servers, but what we're good at that they're not so good at is really supporting the end user.
Right. Knowing
challenges and questions and, hand-holding that goes on to say, all right, end business user, I'm not dealing typically with IT people. I'm dealing with business owners and marketing folks and, executives. And that's where we come in and what we can really support and help with.
There's ways to go to GoDaddy and Rackspace and a lot of places where it's really cheap, but you don't get to have somebody that you can really talk to like they can if they work with you.
Exactly. Now, that's where the strategy is missing.
Speaking of that, will you tell the story of what happened this last week? Is that
sure,
okay?
Absolutely.
I want him to tell you folks about what happens when a host is under attack. Because last week, about just hours before we went on the air, they finally solved the problem where there was an attack going on against IGD Solutions, and we weren't on the web.
Now back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Riddell.
And welcome to our anniversary show, our 16th anniversary. Started out here on WJR. I was doing the Great Weekend program, 1998, and was having a little trouble with this brand new fangled thing called my modem and getting on the air. And that was when it made those horrendous noises. It sounded like grinding meatballs and
you had a
marbles
problem with what?
Getting my modem on the air.
What's that?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty transparent to us nowadays, but at that time it weren't. And some squirrels had gotten on the power lines and had chewed things up, and that was what was causing the problem. We found it out in the end. But I called Gary Baker, who at that time ran BizServe, and that was my provider, the ISP.
he helped me get back online, and in answering those questions, a lot of the people figured, hey, that sounds like a pretty good idea. Maybe we should get you to answer our questions as well. And that's how we ended up here at the Internet Advisors. So delighted to be able to do that. Now, Steve Heyer is with us. And Steve, you now, folks, you kind of a number of generations later, you've inherited our hosting our website, internetadvisor.net. And last week, I was sending all sorts of panicky emails saying, I can't get on the Internet. Help me, help me. And it turned out that we were under attack. What was going on at that time?
Well, you know, it comes down, I think, us being too nice, and you hear about old versions of things that require security patches and why you should always do your updates, and we were letting a customer run an old version of a content management system that we probably should have told them you have to upgrade, and we have since told them that,
yes.
But there's a reason why you have to upgrade these things and keep them current, because a group of hackers from the UK actually poked a hole through this content management system, and in poking that hole, then proceeded to put different things throughout the server. Usually these attacks are fairly benign, but this one was such that really using our server as a zombie of sorts to blast out hundreds of thousands of connections to other websites, mainly in the UK. And not exactly sure what they were doing with that, but certainly that, and with our tracking systems and security systems, that sent some alerts up the flagpole. And as a result, we quarantined that server off while we were working to correct the problem. And you know, it does take some time to do that, but luckily we were able to fix that, you know, within really a few hours.
So the result on our end was that I couldn't post anything on our website. As a matter of fact, until we literally went on the air last week. So first of all, for people maybe who aren't too aware of this, we kind of, you know, figure it's just kind of magic. You have a host like yourself, and that means that you have physically computers called servers that are out there,
correct,
that are storing our web pages and that allow us to go in, for instance, the back end and to change things. And it also allows the bad guys, in some cases, when somebody is running software that's out of date, to get in, and then they can wreak havoc. Yes. And in our case, for instance, that particular server also had our program on it.
Correct. Yep, there are about 105 different sites affected by that.
Wow.
And it's a case of, you know, really nothing happened to your site or nothing directly impacted you.
Right.
But because you were on a server, you know, with, you know, somebody that was really doing some bad things on the Internet, we had to quarantine that off.
How long did it take you to find where the problem was? Because, I mean, all of a sudden things are going kaput, you know.
Yeah,
you have people like me saying, I can't get to my my website. You
know? We found it pretty quick. I mean, as soon as we realized, hey, wait a minute, we're spiking with number of connections through this server, something's going on, you know, then we had a decision, okay, what do we do with that? And the right thing to do was to stop it before it really spread.
And you needed to take the server down until you got that sorted out.
Exactly. We had to put a wall up in front of it. We actually moved the server over to a VPN and work on it in the VPN so that it's not accessible publicly. But while we're doing that, we've got to make sure that we've got the problem solved, because you know, when a lot of these attacks are fairly automated, we're pretty certain that this attack was very human in nature, because once they got in, instead of just automatically posting some things and leaving, they really were working at trying to exploit more of the server.
Wow. What were they trying to do with it? Could you tell from what they were doing?
No, unfortunately not. And I'm not going to pay somebody to analyze a lot of those connections, right?
Right.
I mean, our priority was really to get things back up and running and make sure they never come back. But this is happening more and more and more. I mean, we've all heard of the breaches and security issues out there.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely people are looking for these kind of holes, and they do exist out there. You know, so we've updated our minimum standards to make sure that people running, and it was a client running their own system, just like you're running on an out-of-date platform.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, that's part of the problem is people that don't patch and they're running out-of-date out-of-date software, maybe even an operating system that they should have upgraded. But some of the problem is that when the bad guys infect a particular, and it could be a personal computer, right, they'll turn it into a robot that they can then use a whole series of robots
absolutely
to come and attack you.
And some people think, well, this isn't so important, this computer is not so important, or this website really isn't so crucial, I won't bother with it, or I won't spend the few $100 to upgrade it in labor cost.
But then they hurt
really
everybody else.
It's not them they're affecting. It
right.
really is literally everybody else, and it could be everybody else around the world.
And, you know, that's why we've talked to people here on the show, and we said, look, Microsoft is going to end their patching for Windows XP operating system. It's out of date, shouldn't be used anymore. They've given us a lot of notice, two and a half years of work notice, that April 8th is the last day that they're going to offer patches. And there's still some people that are running XP machines thinking, oh, well, that's not a big deal. But it is a big deal to all the rest of us.
And even because, so, you wouldn't even know when a lot of those things happen because, I mean, we have systems in place to monitor that.
That's right.
But you wouldn't. We've actually picked up several customers with the end of life of XP. Some of their older Exchange and server products are going away. And so people are now hosting those instead of running their own servers in their offices for the same reason. They don't want to turn into zombies.
So in that particular case, everybody, on April 8th, you know XP is going to die. April 9th, we'll all meet down at the Mac store and pick up a Mac.
I love it.
Well, but all operating systems become unsupported, right? Some old Mac operating systems
absolutely
are not supported.
Absolutely correct.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely correct.
So it's just, but you do need to upgrade. And it's a great opportunity to upgrade not only the software then, is the hardware is becoming so cheap. And the difference, right, the bus speeds and the CPU speeds and, you know, the way the I.O. works on inside of a computer, you know, it's time to upgrade the hardware.
You know,
and
we
it's
had
cheap
a,
to do so.
We had a listener that wrote us a letter and says, you know, I have an XP system. I'm trying to interface it with my plasma TV. How can I do that wireless? And I basically told him, don't. Your XP is going to expire. It's for security. And the amount of money you're going to be paying for that wireless HDMI or whatever type of way you're going to be streaming, that's going to be more than you would pay for a new laptop.
Right. But, you know, something really good to remember, and this is a good point to think about, because you always want to be proactive and be ahead of these types of adversities and those sort of things. When, especially for our business customers that are out there listening, Steve, IGD.
IGD Solutions.
Sorry, I've been called worse.
Do they offer, do you offer any way of a consultation where customers can come in and say, hey, I have systems set up. What's a good way to start planning my way so I can get my systems in line so they'll stay compliant, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we don't deal with sort of end-user desktop hardware. Our place is really the server environment, and that's where, you know, customers that have servers, they're thinking, well, why would I host? You know, I have three Exchange accounts. Why am I running a whole server, you know, Microsoft server operating system, an Exchange license? I have anti-spam and antivirus for that. I have to run a firewall then. I have to have a redundant internet connection and backup power. Why don't I spend $30 a month for that?
I've got a great idea. Why don't they just not spend any money for all of that other stuff and just come to you and let you host it?
That is a great idea. I like the way you're thinking.
That's what we did.
That's right.
That's exactly.
It really is. I mean, there's times when it makes a lot of sense, and there are other times when it does make sense for them to have their own infrastructure. But more and more, and you know, cloud is the new marketing term for hosting things. Yeah. It's been around for a long time, probably older than the Mac.
It's the word cloud, but not put together like it is today.
Exactly. It's a new marketing term for something that's, you know, very old, and that it's a lot of times it makes sense to host something rather than have it inside. Not always. I mean, some people sell hammers, think every problem looks like a nail, but you know, we really do work with folks to make sure it makes sense in their case.
And the real point I'm trying to make is that it's really important to periodically look at what you have for a computer,
right,
whether you be a big business, whether you're a small business, whether you're an individual, and constantly make changes and stay up to date.
We're going to take a quick break here, and what we're going to do is we're going to visit with Charlie Hopper. I hope we can get him back. The winds are blowing pretty hard up there on the Upper Peninsula, on the Keweenaw Peninsula, and we're going to get Charlie on with us to talk about the challenges that he faces as an ISP, a hoster, in one of our most rural areas, isolated areas in Michigan, making the internet work for people up in that area. And so Charlie Hopper will be with us in a moment. Thank you for joining us for a very special occasion, our 16th anniversary of doing the Internet Advisor in a room full of people here. We've been talking with Steve Heyer, who is the CEO of IGD Solutions, the people who are our host, that is, they're our ISP, our Internet Service Provider. Our website, InternetAdvisor.net, goes up through them. Somebody who's with us right now is a gentleman we've talked with and over these last 16 years because we began just about the same time. That's Mr. Charlie Hopper from way up north in the Keweenaw Peninsula. He is the man who put the pasty.net and pasty.com sites on. Charlie, so good to have you with us. How you doing?
Hey, Foster and Gary, everybody. Glad to be with you. I don't know how long I will be. We're having some technical problems here locally with the cell towers dropping out.
Oh, my. Well, listen.
They're freezing, I'll bet.
Listen, tell us the story you told me about going up on the mountain. Where there's a little mountain.
Brockway Mountain.
I think Brockway Mountain, yeah, in the middle of the Keweenaw Peninsula. By the way, folks, Keweenaw Peninsula, if you look at the upper peninsula, that's that little horn that sticks out into Lake Superior. The tip of it is Copper Harbor. And then as you go up along the spine there of that peninsula, that's where your towers are that you service then the rest of the peninsula with, right?
Right. That's the vantage point we have to relay to all the places that we can't see with line of sight microwave signals from Calumet. And so we had to move our equipment this fall. The township locally bought the building there, the old gift shop where we had everything mounted, and we got about a week's notice that we had to move everything somewhere else on the top of the mountain.
Oh, there's no power there.
There's no power at all.
Oh, my Lord.
We generate our own with wind and solar, and it has been a challenge. It's with a day much like right now. I'm driving in a... just a whiteout blizzard here. It's unbelievable the snowfall that we've gotten this year and the temperatures. Right now, we have no temperature. It's zero. That's probably with the wind chill, it's about 25 below right now. But we've had to go back and forth to the top of Brockway because we had problems with the wind generator there. Oh, wow. And one of those times, I almost went over the edge of the mountain there on a snowmobile.
Yeah.
A real hurricane force wind came along.
Wow.
But we managed to keep relaying, and we keep the bandwidth pumping to all of the small towns like Eagle River, Eagle Harbor, Agate Harbor, all the way up to Copper Harbor, and all of these towns around here, like
Bay and
Aqua Belle.
I'll bet most ISPs don't have the same challenges that you do, Charlie.
No, it's a little unusual.
We were talking, Charlie, by the way, with Steve Heyer about attacks. Do you find yourselves under attack, you know, way up north there?
Well, it's interesting you would mention that because just a couple of weeks ago we had a very severe denial of service attack on our sites. And, you know, you have to roll with the punches when that happens and block from all of the different directions that they come. It's almost like Star Wars, where you get out your lightsaber and start hacking away at all of these attacks on your sites.
Like one of those old, one of the old arcade games that used to be on. What do they call it? Star something, where you were shooting the enemy starships. You keep on hammering away at them. It's kind of like that.
Starship, that goes back a ways.
Yeah. There's one game I think I could play.
Hey, Charlie, is there anything that you can do to talk to governor of the state? I mean, you know, he was big in technology and stuff like that. Can he get you at least a piece of glass or a little bit of pipe coming up that way so you guys can come into the 21st century?
Well, they got it right to Houghton and Hancock and a number of places, but it's hard to get it up to the mountain, isn't it?
Well, here's the way we do it. We actually did bring fiber to the old state police post tower in Calumet this fall. From there we shoot up to the old radar base at Mount Horace Greeley, and then from there over to Brockway and all the other directions. And we're hitting right now, I mean, we can get like 40 megabits between these points. Easy, and that's swimming in bandwidth for these folks who've been deprived of even a megabit for many years.
Wow. Yeah, and that is, folks, that's kind of the story, the untold story of how people like Charlie Hopper have been fighting a lot of different forces, not just the hackers, to get signals into these areas of Michigan, because getting it to these remote rural areas is a real challenge. And I know Connect Michigan is one of the organizations
that's
involved
right.
in trying to make that
it.
Happen.
Yep, they track
Charlie,
a lot of that.
Do you work with a lot of other ISPs who are kind of outstate like this to look at technologies that you can collaborate on?
Well, we do, of course, work together with the other ISPs reporting our information to Connected Michigan. Because they are the map that the FCC uses for the nationwide broadband map. But we work directly with one ISP in cooperation with BroadBreeze out of Grand Rapids there. They brought their WiMAX technology here, and we've been serving WiMAX off of a tower in Houghton and Hancock, and it's just been tremendous.
Hey, Charlie, let's just quickly tell folks what is WiMAX versus the way that most of us get our signals.
WiMAX is high-powered licensed, whereas Wi-Fi is low-powered unlicensed. And so So with the WiMAX, you're not in the noisy spectrum that everybody's home router is on, and you also have much more power to work with from all of the towers. So WiMAX is just a tremendous technology.
But is that line of sight that you transmit with WiMAX?
It's basically, yeah, near line of sight. We have it's sort of like 4G, you know.
You're right.
Like I'm talking to you right now on a 4G signal, and believe me, I can't see the tower. I'm looking back.
I got
toward Bumbletown Hill is where this tower comes from.
Well, Charlie,
I've just started reading a book called So You Want to Buy an Oil Tanker by one of your neighbors up there, Captain Don Kippola.
Oh, yeah. In fact, Captain Don, we host his website, isleroyal.com.
That's
they
right.
have a tremendous...
Oh, wow.
Boating business up there.
He owns the Isle Royal Queen, so if anybody wants to run out there, there's only the Ranger and the Queen and your own
right.
boat or swimming.
Well, we got to say that Charlie has got a great site. Is it pasty.com that you have the pictures of what's going on? The Pasty Cam looks at the bridge in Houghton. It's interesting that this area, which is so remote, it's 13 hours by car from Detroit, but you also are a huge technology hub up there with Michigan Technology University in Houghton.
Houghton, right.
And so there's a lot of really high-tech stuff that's going on up there.
But, you know, go ahead.
MTU was named the snowiest campus in the country this past week by AccuWeather.com.
I bet. Well, you're getting close to 300 inches right now in terms of total accumulation up there.
Yes, that too.
You know, the best thing about his website is that, you know, you can see things that are going on up there. But the part I like the best is now you can order four different types of pasties directly online. I'm getting hungry just looking at it.
The really important thing. Charlie, I got to run right now, and I hope that you stay plugged in up there and that we can continue to keep in contact with you for our anniversaries.
Will do, and many happy returns.
Thanks so much. That's Mr. Charlie Hopper, who runs Pasty.net and Pasty.com. We have a couple other people in studio as we look at both how we stay connected. We have with us Tom Churchwell and Jason Dinkelman, who are with Agile and Beyond. And that, I understand, is a form of collaboration, kind of like a new way people are working together to create software. Am I right?
That's what Agile is. The conference is a celebration of that, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
And
Agile development was really started here in at Chrysler,
as I understand, XP. Yeah.
In '96, and just gone all over the world since then, and we're now starting to do even more of it here, right?
Yes.
It kind of died out for a while here, but it's a really great way to develop software.
Yeah, you know, I think it's one of the most misunderstood ways of delivering solutions that we've seen. I mean, it's just everywhere that you go, it's like the Baskin-Robbins of IT. There's like 31 flavors, right? Every time you ask somebody, they're like, oh, that's not Agile because you're not doing, you know, whatever it is.
And as a matter of full disclosure, when I was the CIO at Gale, Tom was my very first hire.
Oh.
I needed somebody to really understand how to do Agile testing, Agile QA, and Tom was the guy that could help us out. So I started replacing a number of people to really build the team out there. And Jason Dinkelman.
Hi.
You were there too at Gale during that
time.
Yeah,
I'd been there a couple of years before we did that transformation.
Right.
And so I had seen the good times and the bad times.
So there's a conference coming up. We've got a little bit of window time here.
Sure.
But we're going to talk with you a little bit later in our second hour, but this hour, the Agile and Beyond is a conference is coming up near the end of February.
February 21st and 22nd, and we've expanded it to 2 days.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're going up in the world.
And I want to tell people about that in case you may miss the rest of the conversation, but that's going to be going on. Looks to be sold out, but here's a cool thing that you guys are doing.
Not yet. Not sold out yet.
Not sold out yet. But
it has every year just about, though.
It has, and here's the cool point. You guys are giving us 2 weeks for WJR listeners or listeners in our network as well. For the next 2 weeks, you go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net. Normally it costs $149 for the ticket. You can get it for $99. In other words, save $50 in the process for this conference that's coming up.
And
you'll be talking about Agile.
Yeah, and you can go to our site to link off.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. So, guys,
internetadvisor.net.
We're going to talk with you a little bit more in the second hour, but I wanted to make sure that people who are listening to us at this time, maybe going elsewhere, would get a chance to know that. You can go to our website and get this $50 discount on that conference.
Yeah, happy anniversary, everyone.
Hey, thank you very much. Hey, back in just a moment, Mike Brennan is going to be with us. And it's that time of our program every week where we want to keep you in touch with what's happening in the headlines in technology and entrepreneurship in our state of Michigan. The man to do that is Mr. Mike Brennan. He is the head editor of MI Tech News, MichiganTechnologyNews.com, which you can subscribe to free of charge. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. And that's brought to you today by ITC Transco, the nation's largest independent electricity transmission company with a vital role to play in shaping Michigan's energy future and beyond. Warner, Norcross, and Judd attorneys at law, how well protected and capitalized is your intellectual property, and the Engineering Society of Detroit. Hey, Mike, good to have you with us. The first article up I saw was some, I guess, good news and bad news about CompuWare, that big software company here in Detroit.
Well, you know, finances being what they are, every 3 months they change. In this case, the Wall Street was expecting them to come in at 11 cents a share, and that's what they did. But unfortunately, that also meant that they had a loss, well, compared to a year ago, mm-hmm. the same quarter, for both revenue and profits. Not a big loss, but a loss nonetheless, you know. So, but they still did okay. They made 11 cents a share, $25 million for the third quarter.
So it's they're still keeping their noses afloat. I know there's some big changes that have been going on there as well. But that's the kind of news we're going to keep in touch with. Another thing I saw here was that they finally caught some people who have been scamming from gas stations. You had a headline on that.
Yeah, they did. Bluetooth circuits were installed in the card reader so that they didn't even have to show up at the gas stations to collect the information.
Good grief.
They just had to be within, you know, the range of the Bluetooth device. And so they used it to forge 70 or so credit cards and ended up charging $2 million. Excuse me.
Wow.
So now they're in jail. And these aren't kids. These aren't script kiddies doing a lark. These are, you know, guys in their 30s and 40s. So this was a serious criminal
and
activity.
And by the way, are they in the United States?
Yeah, they're in the U.S., so okay. They caught them here. So.
We can't look to Eastern Europe to blame them for that. We got our own homegrown nasty guys. Hey, let's talk about a kind of a nice thing happening in Troy. The Portage High School students there were named winners of the Verizon Innovative App Challenge.
Yeah, Troy and Portage. Portage is over by Kalamazoo. It was Troy High School and Portage Middle School. I got that wrong in the headline, and Verizon jumped all over me. So we now correct that, you know, so we're good. But anyway, so they created some apps. And in the case of Troy High School, they created an app that would be for showing food nutritional values so that you can make smarter, healthier food choices, and I know that's of concern to older gentlemen like us.
Yeah.
And then the Portage group, they came up with a safe, fast, efficient way for bus routes to and from the school. So cute.
Really cute. Good. Hey, it's good to hear that those young people are being recognized. Well, Mike does this. He's got headlines about what's going in our state, internationally as well, and he also talks about entrepreneurship going on. And as a matter of fact, in just a moment, Terry Bean's going to be with us. Mike, and we're going to be talking about his love for Detroit event that's coming up that you're helping to organize for March the 13th. But I should mention, folks, that you can get these headlines delivered free of charge every week to your homepage at by going to our homepage, internetadvisor.net. Look for the Michigan Tech News, mitechnews.com. There's a button that says subscribe here at the bottom, and you can get that sent to your home every week. You get all of these headlines and many more. And if you're an entrepreneur, I'll tell you about all the events that are coming up. It's really worth your while, especially since it doesn't cost you anything. So just go to internetadvisor.net, and then you can click on that the subscribes button, and it'll be in your mailbox once a week, free of charge. By the way, Mike, our last headline says that there's some fiber networks coming to metropolitan Detroit.
Yeah, 750 route miles of new fiber. It's the really fast stuff. It's Ethernet kinds of speeds. It's not really aimed at the consumer. It's aimed at businesses that mm-hmm. maybe now are still on T1 lines or something like that, or a twisted pair of copper. So it'll give them an opportunity to be up to 100 gigabytes per second.
Mm-hmm.
And so very, very fast. So.
Excellent. That's good news for business, and that's the kind of news that you're getting out to your readers through mitechnews.com. Brought to you, by the way, by ITC Transco, the nation's largest independent electricity transmission company. Mike, we have one of your friends here, and it is somebody that you are working with to produce a program on March the 13th. Let me introduce Terry Bean with us. He's from Motor City Connect, a group that he started. But the target that you folks are developing, or the gathering, is, Terry, is for March the 13th, and it's called LoveForDetroit.com. What's that about?
Well, you know, it started a couple of years ago. We actually got the hashtag 313DLove to trend on Twitter worldwide on March 13th in 2012. And the whole concept was to go back to what we did in the 70s. Remember that Say Nice Things About Detroit?
Yeah, right.
Well, we needed that. Our city needs as much love as it can possibly get.
It certainly does.
So we did that. We had some virtual stuff. But now we're going to take that virtual love and bring it into a real live environment.
So what is the kind of thing you're shooting for happening? It's going to be at the Charles Wright Museum, I understand, of African American History, right down on Warren and right near Woodward.
Warren and Brush, you got it.
Beautiful, beautiful facility there. March the 13th, what are you going to be doing there?
We're going to bring in a bunch of wonderful people that are doing great things, really living the example of doing well by doing good. We're going to have speakers that are going to talk about what they've done for our community, how they're making it a better place. And then we're also going to have some speakers talking about ways to share that love not only around the city, but in their own lives and in their own businesses.
I love, speaking of businesses, I like that concept of encouraging, this is kind of the future now, of encouraging things to happen here in Detroit. We know from Gary, from our conversations, that there are a lot of businesses that are starting up here, a lot of high-tech businesses that are starting up here. So who are some of the people that are going to be coming in to talk about the future of business in Detroit?
One of my favorite speakers that's going to be on the program is Shawn DePerrin. She's going to be talking about Project Forgive. For us to get to where we need to be as a city, we've really got to embrace that concept of forgiveness. We've carried this past with us. We've got to box it up, leave it in the past, and really celebrate kind of where we are in our present and move forward in the future. So Shawn's going to be there. John George of Motor City Blightbusters, who he and his crew been knocking down houses. You guys probably talked to him at one point. Right. He's an analog guy. I don't know if you all got that.
Yeah. But, there are people out there still.
Yeah.
He uses that crowbars in the real world.
He's got a flip phone, my man. It's okay. It's okay. I don't know if that's still true. Chaz Miller, who's an artist that's painted wonderful murals around the city. He's going to talk about how art can change a community.
Yeah.
We got Rod Hairston, who was a Navy SEAL, and he's one of the he was a master facilitator for Tony Robbins and worked with Quicken Loans back in the day and really helped them set up their ISMS program that you all are familiar with.
Yep.
So Rod's going to be there. Pastor Rick Bartel and a handful of other people are going to be there.
Now, is this just, is the general public going to be involved in this as well, or is it just kind of these people talking to one another?
No, it's going to be, there's going to be a room for 300 live, and if I have my way, and maybe this is a little too much of a push for my friends over at PowerStream, but I'd love to have Gerard come over and stream this out live so we can all take part of it live. But Mike is going to be putting podcasts together, so we're going to be able to continue this conversation long after the March 13th event.
Hey Mike Brennan.
Well, it does have legs.
Yeah, yes, Mike absolutely. Mike Brennan, what's the significance of the March 13th?
Well, that's a Terry thing. I'll let Terry explain that part.
The significance of March 13th.
Well, we live in the 313, right? So we should celebrate
313.
And it turns out that this year happens to be Detroit's 313th birthday.
I know. That's really cool.
So it just it was perfect timing. We couldn't let that go.
Well, I thought that was kind of a neat segue also into our program today, our 16th anniversary. Macintosh, its 30th anniversary. Ed Riddell, his 50th anniversary. And Detroit's 313. Terry, we're going to have you on the second hour to talk a little bit more about what you've been doing with Motor City Connect, as well as kind of an interesting dream you have for Click Car.
Yes, sir.
Is a new website you're working on, or service you're developing as well. Terry Bean. And Mike Brennan, thank you so much, buddy, for being with us. And stay safe and warm out there in the Grand Rapids area.
Always a pleasure, Foster and Gary. And hey, Terry, we'll talk next week.
Yes, all right. Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, fellas.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back after news, we got a second hour. We're going to be talking more with Steve Heyer from IGD Solutions. I have a special review to do of AT&T's package that they put out between the tablet, which is a Nokia 2520, and that really beautiful camera, the 1020. I'll give that review coming up in the beginning of our next hour as well. So much more. Make sure you stay here and join us.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook.
Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Hi there, Foster Brown with you on an anniversary program. It's our 16th anniversary. Macintosh is celebrating its 30th anniversary, what it produced and introduced to the world. It's Mac. And also, it is Ed Rudell's weekend for a big anniversary. 50 years that he's been around. We're delighted to have Eddie with us as well. They got a great program coming up in this segment. We're going to talk with Steve Heyer, who is CEO of RISP, IGD Solutions, about robotics and many other things. We've got a crowd full of here, and let me introduce, first of all, Gary Baker, my co-host for these 16 years. So Gary, it's been good to be able to be around here for that long, and that's kind of like in dog years.
I thought
in radio it would be like two centuries.
I thought when we started, if we could get 16 weeks, that we would be doing great. Who would have thunk?
Well, happy anniversary. Thank you very much. We've had some real cake here, and some virtual cake is posted on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. We got also Eddie Riddle in studio. I won't tell him again. But it is an anniversary.
But I'll tell him. 50 years. Birthday boy, 50 years old.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Hey, you're not a youngster anymore.
I'm waiting for that AARP letter to come in the mail.
Soon, very soon. Yep. It'll be there. And a man who is genuinely old, Gal Carson, or at least he looks it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, is he a friend of yours?
It's a good thing I got a face for radio. That's all I can say. Oh, my God.
Well, they could go to our website, and they could see
The great thing about the website is that it's eternal youth, because I think that picture that's out there, I must have been about 32.
You know, that used to always bug me, reading the Detroit News, because I used to deliver the news, and I'm looking at these pictures, and I know those writers, that's an old picture, because when I see them on Channel 7 or Channel 2, like, that doesn't look like them.
And it's the same picture they've used for the last 15 years.
Exactly. That's the same thing I do.
That's what headshots are for. That's what the headshots are for. Hey, guys, one of the things I wanted to do at the beginning of this segment of the program, we're going to be talking with Steve Heyer, man who runs our ISP.
That's right. Host our website with
him. He also has another passion. And that is, he coaches the Team Rush, which is a robotic team. And we have one of his stars from the team, Cameron Rajdar, is with us in studio. We'll also be talking a little bit more extensively now with Tom Churchwell and Jason Dinkelman about a conference coming up called Agile and Beyond. And, you know, while we're on an anniversary, we're kind of looking ahead to the future with them, both about this innovative way of developing software and some of the future involved in that. And then Terry Bean is with us, too, and he has a passion for Detroit. He's going to be sharing something coming up on March the 13th called Loved for Detroit. That'll be taking place at the Wright Museum of African American Museum down in the center of Detroit, down near the Art Museum. Before we do that, though, guys, I want to do this quickly, and I'll post a much more complete review on our homepage. But just as quickly as I can, I was given by AT&T the Nokia 2520 tablet and the 1020 camera phone that they have, the Windows 8 camera phone. Right.
How long did you have it?
I had it for a month.
Month, okay.
And so I got a real chance to use it. Now, I was also using the Windows Surface at that time. Mm-hmm. So the Nokia 2520 is a really nice piece of hardware. It has that same kind of feel with that polycarbonate shell on it that the phones do. So it's a bit slippery as well. Now, the part of the problem was it didn't come with its own keyboard. And a keyboard, for me, makes a big difference with a tablet, just for me and my use of it. But I have to say, it was running Windows RT, and since I had gotten used to using that on the Surface, it worked fine for me. And the added bonus was it was cooked up to the AT&T system. So anywhere I was that I was in contact with AT&T, I could get a signal and get on it.
So that's just about anywhere.
That was a big boon, because on the Surface, I don't have that.
Right.
I didn't have that. So
you have
that,
to use a hotspot on your phone
exactly.
or something like that.
And the nice thing about this, and because AT&T is selling it as a package, I think you can add a device to your account for like $10, I think, a month. You can add a tablet.
And I think they can do that for anybody.
Yeah, for anybody.
Right.
But this package that they had out there was the Nokia 2520 tablet plus the 1020 phone. And in the combination of my phone was a good one, but, and I've used, I think I commented before on Windows phones, Windows 8 phone. I love them. I like that whole thing that they got with, like, for instance, the live tiles on Windows 8. You see a lot of information being shown to you right there on your homepage. It could be the weather. It could be the number of calls you got, your emails or Facebook, whatever. It shows up on those live tiles. That's great. The limitation it has, of course, is the Windows Store and the applications that they have.
Now, they have tons of them out there, but they aren't quite up to stuff in a lot of ways, the ones I use at least. So that's still a – now, the other thing I found with the 1020, the phone, has got this 41-megapixel. You can take these incredible images. But the problem was it was like a Swiss knife with 84 blades. And while I was really looking forward to using the camera, one of the things I found terribly frustrating was there were like three different modes you can go into, and I couldn't just like take a picture.
Is that a point and click?
It is a point and click. Yes, it is, with incredible resolution. That means you can do almost anything with these pictures afterwards. But the problem is you have this incredible array of instructions that you have to figure out ahead of time. You can't simply pick it up and use it. Yes, you can. You can take a picture with it. But
you can't use the more advanced features.
Exactly.
They're not intuitive.
Because there's three different modes, I think, to take. One's Nokia, one's a bunch of other different kinds of lenses and things you can put on. Cal?
You enjoyed this phone very much, I take it.
I didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to because of the camera. The rank of the other stuff was a Windows 8 phone, and it works fine. And it's a big phone, so you got a good screen on it. I like that part of it.
But you could point and shoot with the camera.
Yes,
you just
yes.
couldn't use all the advanced features.
And that was a little bit frustrating because
so,
you had a
because
feature.
You wanted to, or you felt you had to, or you couldn't?
I wanted to, and I just couldn't figure out which one of them to use.
But
give
you
me...
could still take a picture.
Like oh, yes, you could still take a picture, and the pictures were really wonderful, but you couldn't. I didn't tell it.
Let me just put you on point real quick. I'm not going to ask you what you're carrying currently, but would you give it up for this phone?
Yes. I'm carrying an iPhone right now that is a little bit smaller and has some limitations there.
An older iPhone, though, not the current one.
I have an iPhone 5.
Okay.
I don't have the 5S. If I had the 5S, I'd probably say no because some of the advances there.
Okay.
But the size of the Nokia phone, the 1020, is really good. So, folks, I'll have a complete write-up that you can go to at internetadvisor.net and find out more about that. Well, as we have been celebrating our 16th anniversary here at the Internet Advisor, and by the way, go to internetadvisor.net, our website, and you'll find more information there about our show notes, people who have been on the air with us, and you can check out their websites. One gentleman who was with us in the first hour and is here now, very important to us, especially if you want to go see that website, is Steve Heyer, who's with us. He is the CEO of IGD Solutions, the company that hosts our website.
And there's a real good reason that they do, too, right?
They do a great job.
Because they know how to take care of us.
And they do a great job of that. They also, last week when we were under attack, were able to get us back up and running again. Steve, thank you again for joining us here. Now, I know you have another hat. You are you on the school board, am I right, in Clarkston?
Yes.
Clarkston, Michigan? And in that, you're wearing a T-shirt that says Team Rush. Team 27 Rush?
27,
exactly. Okay, Team 27 Rush. What's it about?
Yeah, part of my volunteer work, I'm apparently not busy enough with two kids and family and work.
And running your own company.
And running my own company and being on the school board. I've for the last 8 years, volunteered and mentored a bunch of high school students, and I really don't know too much about engineering, so I handle a lot of the aspects of how to speak to people, how to do presentations, how to communicate the message, and that includes help with their website. That's actually how I got started with it. They needed some help getting their website going, and so I've helped students along the way, and my staff has helped students along the way. So it's really been a great and rewarding opportunity. It certainly reminds me of really what the future holds and why it's worth it to put the time in that I do for volunteering on the school board and also with Rush.
Now, speaking of that future, Cameron Razdar is with us. And Cameron, welcome. You're on Team 27 Rush, right?
Yes, thank you for having us.
Now, what year of school are you in?
I am a junior, so I'm in 11th grade.
Okay, 11th grade right now. Now, you have been on the show with us before in the past talking about the robotic team, and that's what Team Rush is, right?
Yep.
What is it that you have learned as part of that team?
Oh my gosh, so many things. So I guess the biggest part really is gaining confidence in leadership. And one wouldn't really think that you would gain that in a robotics team, right? But it's really incredible because you get to mentor the younger students and you also get to master some engineering skills along with that.
Mm. Now, were you interested in math? Did you have that kind of bent towards, seeing how things work and engineering?
Yeah, that was really my main focus in wanting to join the robotics team. I was really, I liked to fiddle with things, and I really liked engineering, so that's how I got started with it. But now that I'm with Rush, and now that I've been with Rush for the last 3 years, I've really seen myself gravitate towards the presentation aspect of it, towards getting sponsors. So it's really opened up my eyes to other facets of life.
That's neat. Yeah, it's kind of like the some of the business aspects of it. Steve, you certainly can relate to that, you know, that while you may have a tech background or interest, you got to be able to do a whole bunch of things to make it all come together and work.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about sustainability, and that means having students every year, new students on the team, you know, having mentors. A lot of our mentors are younger guys who are coming back, and, you know, they get married and they start a family, and their time is then challenged. You know, how do we keep more mentors? And certainly dollars, you know, this is not a cheap program to run. There's a lot of travel involved. There's, you know, components and parts and raw materials that you have to buy. And while the school provides space, the school doesn't provide any funding. The kids have to go out and raise all the money every year.
Wow. And that's because you travel with a pretty big team, don't you?
Yeah, there's 35 students on our team this year. And that's not even counting all the mentors that we have, too.
Now, how do you decide what robot to build and what it should be doing?
Yeah, so there's an organization called FIRST. FIRST stands for Inspiration, Recognition of Science and Technology. And it's similar to the NFL to a football team in that it's the host organization. So
big deal.
Yeah, definitely.
Very big deal. A lot of corporate sponsors I know. I think it was Chrysler was one I knew that was involved.
Yeah, the Chrysler Foundation is a big sponsor, especially in this area. Oakland County is very saturated with teams. But FIRST has, I think, a few hundred sponsors, a big corporate sponsors that sponsor the organization. And then each team has a number of different sponsors. We have almost 200 sponsors for Team Rush from our community, from anywhere from a $10,000 sponsor down to $25 sponsors.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So FIRST is the one who releases a game. They release a different game each year. So,
oh, I see.
Yeah, so they release it in the first Saturday in January.
So when you say game, is it like the contest or the objective?
Yeah. It's
to put the ball through the hoop or whatever it may be?
Yeah, like in some years past, it's been a basketball-type game, a soccer-type game. This year, it's a game called Aerial Assist, where you have to assist. Each team has three robots. It's an alliance of three against another alliance of three. So you have to help other robots by passing them the ball, and then you could score the ball.
When you said aerial assist, I thought, drones are coming in now.
No, not quite yet, but it's a lot of movement with that because the robots have to pass to each other. That's how you get a lot of points.
So this is real teamwork.
Yeah, definitely. That's a big part of FIRST, too. They emphasize cooperation. It's competition mixed with cooperation.
You know, what's interesting about that robotic aspect, too, Steve, is it's not just what one robot can do, but the interaction between the robots.
That's really a primary goal
coming very soon.
it really is trying to get people to work together, and it's difficult because everybody builds a completely different machine, and for most of the competition, you're sort of randomly paired up with, you know, different partners. So some partners may be able to pick up the ball, some can catch the ball maybe, some could be good at shooting. So it's really that strategy to say, all right, here's who I'm paired up with. How do I score the most points? You know, how do we work together to maximize what that is? And sometimes one will play defense. Sometimes, you know, two of them work on scoring. Sometimes you partner up and work together. You know, it really is a match-by-match strategy.
So you're building three robots, Cameron.
Actually, you're building one, but then you partner with two other teams.
I see. That's even a bigger challenge because you don't really know those kids that you're playing with.
Yeah, but that's actually one of the most fun parts of FIRST, the organization, because you get to, after building the robot for 6 weeks, then you get to go to competitions and you actually get to see what other teams have done and you get to interact with those other teams, see what they've been doing. So that's really a great part of the organization.
I got to say, most of these robots look ugly. They're not very pretty. They're like these, like, erector sets in some ways.
But how is that ugly to certain people? It's beautiful. I know.
It's actually, I mean, we actually pride ourselves and take time, and some of our engineering leads, we take time to have the robot powder-coated, which is a fancy way of saying painted.
Okay,
know, we take time to do some design elements that actually make it look nice.
Okay, that was
as
part...
well. But, however, paint, there's weight. You know, there's weight restrictions that we have. You paint it, it weighs more.
Yeah,
you know,
we
drill lightning holes in a lot of things to make it weigh less. You know, that might not be the prettiest thing.
I said that kind of tongue-in-cheek because I was wondering if part of it is making it look a little bit more human. I don't know what you want to say.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't necessarily say human, but the design aspect is really something FIRST would focus upon. Like there's certain awards like the Motorola Quality Award where it really awards if the robot is robust, and with that all of the it's very innovative with its design. So really there's a lot of I don't know how to phrase this, a lot of highlight on those.
Okay, now, aspects. Cameron, one of the things, Cameron Razdar was with us. He's with Team Rush. He's a junior at Clarkston, right?
Yep, Clarkston
okay.
High School.
And we have Steve Heyer, who's with IGD Solutions. He's the CEO out there, and he's our host for our internetadvisor.net site, but also a sponsor for the team and somebody who's helping them as well. Where do the designs come from? From you guys, you kids, are you bringing that? Is that your design that comes from
yeah.
that, or is your mentors are doing this for you?
Yeah, it's really a mutual thing, because what we do is we have 2 days right when the game is released where we sit down as a team and we're brainstorming for hours upon hours where we think of different ways we can play the game, different ways we can make mechanisms for the game, so that once we have all those ideas out, we can pick a design and then go with that. Yeah. And if we don't know if we're going to do one of two designs, we usually make prototypes for them so we can see which one works best.
Now, Gary, for 16 years, the passion that you and I have had, because right, I have four daughters and you have a daughter who is now in college, and she's almost her senior year.
She's going to graduate to the end of April out of the U of M.
And we've both been passionate about girls and technology and getting them in there. So I want to ask you, Steve, are there girls on this team, or is it mostly, you know, testosterone-based?
We've got 35 kids. 11 of them are girls.
Great.
And I would say it's definitely testosterone-based. We really have to work to make sure the girls understand that we've got a place for them, and it is interesting, and it's not just a bunch of smelly high school boys running around.
So is it working, Cameron?
Yeah, it's definitely well put, Steve.
All right, guys, look, we're going to hope to have you back in March. You're heading for Duluth for a big contest then. Will you catch you before or afterwards? We'll have Team Rush 27 in here with us. Cameron, thank you. And Steve, thank you also for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. You know, we're celebrating our 16th anniversary today, a 30th anniversary of the Macintosh being introduced to the world, and also Ed Riddell had a birthday just recently. And Eddie, you know, when
we didn't
look,
mention what I said.
No.
It was 29, right?
Ken?
There you go.
Damn that Facebook. I'm going to change the date.
You know, it's interesting with the Facebook. I saw this reported to me by Facebook sends you the stats on the hits. You had the most hits on that birthday announcement of any other thing we posted there. I got to figure out how we made that work.
No one could believe that Tina got 50 candles on that birthday.
That's what it was.
Now, as we look at, you know, what we've done over the last 16 years, and we started out by answering people's questions, and we do that, for the you folks out there, if the program happens to be pre-recorded, you can also still get your questions to us by going to internetadvisor.net and then clicking on the Contact Us button. And you had somebody who had called in a question and then got hold of you this week to talk about the answer and how well it worked.
My sister-in-law, Karen, basically last week she called in Windows XP, her husband, rarely used computer, running slow as heck. And they had just purchased McAfee for family use, and she paid like $100, something that she's been doing because she doesn't trust her brother-in-law when I tell her that she can get a free version of antivirus software.
Silly.
I know. And so we got her on the air, and then you guys also repeated the same thing that I basically was saying.
And because it came from somebody else, now she believes it?
Yeah,
is that
possibly.
You know, I didn't think of that until you said that, Gary, but yes, I think that's true.
She was so nice. I can't believe she's even related to you. She's not.
In-law.
Pure blood.
And so what she ended up doing was uninstalling the McAfee, talking to the credit card company, getting a refund for the purchase of the one additional year.
Your point, Cal. It's good to use a credit card or
debit
card.
And then just downloading Windows Security Essentials for it. And then starting to save all those beer bottles and pop cans for a laptop before April 6th.
Exactly.
That's a good idea if they're still running XP.
Yep.
Right.
And we heard, like with Steve Heyer, one of the things we heard there talking about somebody was running a program that was out of date, and that gave the bad guys a chance to get in and mess with everybody who was on that
particular
server.
And that was on a server end.
That was on a server end. So it's really important to know that if you're using a piece of software that is not supported anymore, or a system like XP after April, that you're actually then in the place of being vulnerable to those kind of attacks, and it could affect everybody who happens to be on a server with you. Right. And that's another big thing.
It was just last week we were talking about how it's probably more dastardly to everybody around you than it is to
Which exactly what happened to us. Our website was taken down, not because anything was wrong on our website, but because somebody else in that server had that hole.
Well, you know, and they're also releasing security patches and software for gaming
right?
Yeah.
So a lot of the Xbox games, a lot of PC console games that are installed, they release patches on those because they're interactive to gaming servers, if you will. But the same thing is true with like software like Quicken. Foster, you were talking about how Quicken always makes their software incompatible from 2008 to 2010. Do you think they really... But they do Abbott release patches in there for security updates as well.
Right. And if you're with Microsoft, we can say this, that like for Microsoft Windows 8... every day you're getting updates. Every day to that Defender system. Mm-hmm. And they're updating the signatures of the bad guys.
Just about every day.
Yeah, it's my experiences.
And any other antivirus package or malware package, you get update. Well, if you have it set up correctly, it'll go out and check for updates every day. And some days you get things and some days you don't. And the days that you don't are the good days.
Yeah, because you never know when a zero-day virus... Yeah. is going to attack, right?
You know,
and I know of people that have had that happen to them.
I want to talk to a couple of guys who have been involved in a form of developing software that I think in some ways, maybe as somebody who's not involved in the field, it strikes me as that kind of being agile or nimble so that you can take care of getting things done quickly and responding to needs immediately. Let me introduce Tom Churchwell and Jason Dinkelman.
Hi.
Who are going to be, guys, good to have you back on this hour again, talking about Agile and Beyond, which is a conference that's coming up in
February
21st and 22nd.
Yeah. Yep, 21st, 22nd, and celebrating also an anniversary. It is the fifth year of the conference.
There you go.
But and next year you're going to have an anniversary too, right?
Right. Every year.
It just moved because it always had been at the Ford Conference Center.
Yep.
And moved down the street to where?
The Adobe Hotel. It's a little bit bigger, and we've got a lot more room to do stuff there.
Yeah, we've been selling out for a number of years now.
It sells out just about
now, every year. Agile is something you talked to us about a number of years ago when you began to do it, I think, with Cengage.
That's right? Correct. That's where I know Tom and Jason from.
Yeah. Yep. Now, guys, let's explain to our audience what Agile means and how it's different from the way things used to be in terms of developing software.
So I think, from my experience, it's a more iterative way to develop software, right? So it makes – and you explained pretty well it's just a quicker, easier way to respond to changing things in the way that we do software. In the past, we would get a requirements document. It was this huge thing and slam it on the desk and say, here, develop this thing to this spec and come back in 20 weeks. And there you go. But now we're doing more iterations. There's shorter sprints of things where we build the software out and we go back and we work with our product development people on a regular basis rather than.
So you don't work on a hammer on it until it's all finished?
No.
You actually send it out to other people and have them bounce off of it.
Right.
And Tom, you were actually my very first hire when I got to Cengage.
Yeah, thanks for that,
and,
Jerry.
thank you for coming on board because there was a very integral piece that a lot of people that think they're trying to do something with agile development and they miss, and that's really test-driven development, mm-hmm. right? And that's what you helped institute there at Cengage was you really have to write the test first.
Yeah, it's definitely a team sport. There are four fundamental values for Agile, and these are the things that guide everything that we do. So the first thing is having people work together closely, and there's a little story that you can tell, Gary, about how you came in. Everybody was in cubes. and this was the very first thing that Gary said, okay, we're tearing down the cubes. Everybody's going to work.
The physical cubes.
Gary stole my cube.
Yep.
He did give me a shirt, though.
Yes. The shirt said right down the sleeve, it said, I lost my cube, but I got this shirt.
Yeah, that's right. So that was one of the big things is having people work face-to-face instead of through email and all the other ways that we try to communicate with each other. So individuals interacting instead of processes.
Okay, so here's my question, because I've been hanging around these computer things for a couple of years. Agile. That means fast. That means quick.
Mm-hmm. It means nimble.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that always gives me the idea of if you make a mistake, it comes on fast and quick. How do you try to contain that type of madness in an agile environment?
You know, Gary spoke to it right there. Test-driven development, I think, for me, test-driven is one of the foundations of Agile because it allows us to have some kind of an automated testing framework, a test harness, if you will, and it automatically runs everything that everybody has worked on. So every piece of code has an automated test associated with it, and anytime I make a change to something, the first thing I find out if I broke something else.
Let's reduce this down to a little more simpler terms because we got folks out there who aren't IT literate.
Okay.
What do you mean when you say test-driven?
So what I mean is, we'll make it really simple. I want a login button on the screen, for example. The first thing that I do is I write a test in code that determines whether or not there's a login button on the screen. I realize that there isn't one, so when I run that test, it fails. And then I write code until the test passes. And what happens?
No more than that.
Right? And no more than that. Yeah. Right. And well, then I go back. There's something, you know, test red, green, refactor is what we call it. I write the test. It runs red because it fails. No code. No login button is there. I write the code for the login button. And when that passes, it's green. And then I go back and I clean up all the code like a good Boy Scout. So that's test-driven development. And what's interesting about it is that by writing the test first, I have to do all of the thinking and design in my head about how I would write the login button, yeah. Right? So it's test-driven design.
Now, guys,
is the important part here is there were, I think, 253 legacy products when we got to Gale. And I think they averaged over 200 different defects in each one of them.
Wow.
Jason... Maybe not 200, but close.
No, that's probably, I mean, that may be low, actually.
Well, I said average.
But average over the top, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yep. So there were a couple that were a lot more than that.
So how do you clean that up?
So in the 30 or so products that we did in the first 18 months that I was there, we released 7 that had zero defects.
Wow.
Zero defects. And the rest of them had very small number, and we cleaned those up after the first week or two.
Yep.
Great, so, it's a great testament to the teamwork.
And we took the development process that was averaging about 18 months. We took that down to 6 months, and then after I left, you guys got it down a little bit more, right?
Things are going. I think we're doing really well with it. There's always room for improvement, but that's one of the fundamental things of Agile, right? You're always trying to improve.
And that's why the conference is called Agile and Beyond.
Yes.
And you're going to be getting people together that work like you on software
and
doing this. And it's going to be taking place on February 21st and 22nd. Again, it's going to be at the Adobe Hotel in Dearborn. I can ask you, I'm taking an hour of code. I went online, and I'm doing that one. My grandson and I did that online.
Awesome.
So I'm
good for you.
I'm learning some of that, and I'm going to Khan University, and I'm going to see Khan Academy and see if I can learn a little more, because I'd like to learn how to code as well. But for those people who are way ahead of me, again, that is going to be taking place on February 21st and 2nd. Agile and Beyond. Click on our homepage. It's a great offer there for WJR listeners as well.
Get $50 off.
Yep, that's right. Back in a second. Just checking to see if you're on your toes. Hey, I want to say thank you to the folks behind the glass. Rich Lisinski, thank you for being here as well. Annie, our patron saint of the lady of the telephones, Annie Nichols, is here as well. And thank you so much to Mallory, who was with us the first hour. So thank you, all you folks behind the glass that make the program work. And for you guys in studio here, Ed and Cal, thank you so much for being with us here every week. Delighted to have in with the studio with us, too, somebody we talked with briefly at the end of our first hour, and I wanted to get a chance to talk with a little bit more. That's Terry Bean. And Terry, good to have you back here with us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Now, Terry, you were involved along with Mike Brennan, who does the MI Tech News segment with us.
And one of our partners here.
He's doing something you're focusing on for March the 13th, which is going to be
313.
Yep. And very significant because it's the 313th anniversary of the founding of the city of Detroit.
Yes, sir.
As well as being 313 in terms of the date.
And we're in the 313 area code, too.
And you also have a hashtag, I believe, again, for Twitter, which was DLove. No,
you're close.
Hashtag DLove313?
Hashtag 313DLove.
Okay, go the run. So it's that 313 is first again. Hashtag D.
Just a coincidence.
313
D. It all worked out that way. It's so
but
weird.
The whole thing is Detroit love. And I guess you're in our program when we're looking at, you know, our anniversary of 16 years. One of the things is we're really in love with this area and making it work. And we're delighted to have the privilege of having been able here to be on live for these last 16 years and have our guys in studio here helping people with their problems around the city. But you are focusing very much with this event on the positive things about Detroit and gathering people together for this. Now, how is this more than just a pep talk of people who, you know, maybe are Detroit fanatics all getting together and saying nice things to one another? How do we get it beyond that?
It's a great, great question. I have a stern belief that people want to help. People want to get involved. People want to do something great, but they don't always know how.
Yep, I think that's true.
we're going to give them some avenues, some ideas, some, hey, you could go out and do this. You know, DHive is a great organization that sprang up in the last couple of years, and they really are advocates for community and going out and doing something. And we need more things, more channels for people like that.
Now, Terry, I know that you are a software program developer yourself, right?
Oh, that's not even close to true. I have a business partner who is a software program developer.
Well, I was going to say, but you represent people who are developing software in the Detroit area. And you have one that's called Click Click Car, I believe?
Click Click Car is a new product that we're beta testing last week and going into soft launch in the next week or two.
What is it designed to do?
It's designed to change the way people lease cars in the Detroit area for now and then hopefully nationwide beyond. But it removes the salesperson from the leasing experience. If you look at what people dislike about that process, it's dealing with the dealership.
It's terrible to say.
Dealing with the salesperson.
Right. We're sorry, folks. If you're a salesperson out there, we're really sorry.
I'm really a nice guy. I really am. But it's true. It's we're taking it from, if you've ever gone shopping at ABC Warehouse or if you've ever gone shopping at Best Buy,
right,
there's a different attitude. So we're not really getting rid of salespeople. We're getting rid of the attitude of haggling and embarking with people.
And I think that's why online purchasing has taken off, because my wife will not go to a dealership and haggle because she's a woman and she feels she's not going to get as good of a price as a man.
That's true.
And she still feels that way.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
So if she can go to and do it online and she can see it right there, she's going to say, I'm happy with that price.
Get the same deal as everybody else, right?
Yep.
Get the same deal. And then to take it a step further, we're going to bring the car to you. We can bring it to you as a test drive. We can bring it to you as a delivery. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make this process very, very convenient and, more importantly, very transparent. Leasing is black magic. If I tell you can buy a $30,000 car over 5 years, you can break out your calculator and do the math.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, you could lease a $60,000 car for less than you could lease a $27,000 car.
Yeah.
How does that work? Yeah. We're going to explain all of that.
Yeah. Excellent.
So it's neat. I only brought that up because I know that is one example of the kind of things that are happening here in Detroit. And I like what you said, Terry Bean, about this, is that it starts local. And if you will, you kind of do the beta testing here with the market, but then it goes from well beyond Detroit. We're seeing this with the capture program we had with Are You a Human?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Went on. We had those folks in here.
There's so many companies that are growing up here in Detroit, in the Madison Building, the Broderick Tower, some of other Dan Gilbert's efforts going on downtown Detroit, and they're becoming successful, and people are hearing about them all over the country and beyond.
I just got asked, Terry, what was the inspiration behind this idea with the car leasing?
I work with a car dealer, a gentleman that actually owns a couple of dealerships. He was looking at some of the challenges that his customers were having and tried to figure out how to address them.
That's interesting.
Right? So you see a problem, solve a problem.
Right.
That is really neat. And by the way, you were also, have been for quite a while, related to a group called Motor City Connect.
It's my baby.
Your baby. Now, it's quite an interesting. By the way, if you go to internetadvisor.net, you can do a number of things. You can click off and find out information about the LoveForDetroit.com, that Love for Detroit event that's coming up on March the 13th at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History. But you can also click off to see about Motor City Connect as well. Why don't you tell a little bit for folks about what that is. Is that all software developers?
It's actually not. It's all business professionals. It was the idea of years ago, back in 2006, when you were looking at the internet saying, how can we leverage this? You know, this is before old people like us could get on Facebook. I mean, it's back then. Old people, especially like you.
He's not really old. He's 29 with 21 years of experience.
His 29th birthday can drink now. That's good. That's excellent. So it was the idea of being able to leverage both face-to-face business networking, which is very prominent in this area, but being able to do some of that online networking, because business moves very, very fast. And sometimes you're going to need help right now. You can't get that if you have to wait until next Tuesday for your meeting. But if you can type in what you're looking for right now online and you can get answers and get responses, it happens a lot quicker.
Okay, so the objective of this meeting that you've got coming up on March the 13th is both to bring these people in to kind of, I would imagine, build up the atmosphere, build up the excitement about this kind of thing. You've done this before. What has been the response when you did it before?
It's been great. You know, here's the thing. Before, I'm going to quote one of my colleagues at Click Click Car. Before they said Detroit was dead, they said Detroit was great. Jeff Wagner said that just a couple of days ago in an interview. And you think about the prior greatness that our city was, that it had. We just have to remind people. And what one of the reasons that 313 resonated with me so much, from a numerology perspective, the number one represents leadership. And the number three represents creativity. And if you look at this area and what's going on in our town and this rebirth that we're experiencing, it's we're leading in the area of creativity.
I think so. And we see this, Gary, we have seen this in guys with our the people who've been on the air with us, these young guys coming in from the startups as well. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of excitement and a lot of energy there. Down at the building, Dan Gilbert bought out, was it the what's some of those old
Madison
buildings?
Building, the Broderick Tower. But
real
he's got
architectural
like
gems.
Of them.
Yeah. And
you know what's interesting is some of the people that we've talked to that we've had on the show, they've come from other parts of the country come to Detroit to start their company.
Young man from
the infrastructure.
Was it last week? A young guy from Arizona.
That's right.
Would come in here.
Yeah, and it happens all the time.
Yeah, and so they're going out to Silicon Valley, and that still is a very attractive place. They're coming here to Detroit. So, Terry, you certainly are on the right track for the future of Detroit. Terry Bean, and again, if you go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, look for the lovefordetroit.com. Click on that to find out more about that event. And then also find out about some of the other things that Terry's involved with. Thanks so much for being with us, Terry.
Thank you for having me, and a very happy anniversary to you all.
Thank you. And Terry, you'll have to come back.
It's a ball. Thank you so much. By the way, if you have a question about technology, something you want Ed or Cal or Shane or one of us to help you with, simply go to internetadvisor.net and click on that Contact Us button. You can put your question in there and send an email to us. We already had some during the program, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can to answer those questions. And please do join us again on the Internet Advisor next Saturday when we're coming around here. Look forward to seeing you. And by the way, we're available to you 24/7 all throughout the week. We're there for you at internetadvisor.net. On behalf of our crew, I'm Foster Brown. Have a great week.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.